I'm Fast Eddie.
And I'm Digital Dave.
I got a rug burn from falling up that day, too. I hate when that happens.
The worst problem is you ran out of oxygen.
I ran out of gas, too.
Yep.
I ran out of fuel, wouldn't you know it.
Oh, well. Anyway, John Moody has graciously consented to hang out with us a little longer.
I like this.
I like that, too.
John, we got to see you fly the other night, right before the night air show. Was it smooth up there?
Actually, no. It was very smooth on the ground, and then there was a wind about 200-300 feet up in the air, maybe 10-12 miles an hour. And I was trying to stay about like 100 feet off the ground in front of the crowd as they flew down back and forth on the runway. And right in that area is where the mixing was of the moving air and the non-moving air. And it was a little bumpy. But I didn't want to get too high. I wanted to stay low enough so people could watch.
So have you thought about putting pyro on this thing so you can participate in the night show?
Well, yeah, I thought of that. And I don't know. It's got nitrate dope on the wings. So.
Ooh, oh, no, we don't want to do that. That and the fact that he just doesn't like beans.
Yeah, could
have. Oh, gee. Had to go there.
You talk about me. Jeez.
Now, have you ever taken off and suddenly realize that the winds are strong enough that you may not be able to power back to the field?
You can stay, you know, make headwind in most winds that you take off in. I had an air show I was performing at in Texas where I literally had to have three people hanging on the airplane until I got in it while the engine was running. When they let go, I think it was a 6-inch takeoff. When I finally did the air show routine and landed in front of the crowd, it was a zero foot land. And as soon as I hit the ground, they were grabbing on the airplane. But in Texas, it's a nice, smooth wind.
Yeah.
So, but in front of the crowd the other night, it was kind of squirrely because it was in a boundary area where the air was mixing. So.
Yeah, there's some buildings down there that definitely can stir things up for you. Yeah. With a larger airplane, of course, it's no big deal, but with an ultralight, what is the total all-up weight of the Icarus without you in it?
Well, this is the Easy Riser now,
okay,
not the
Easy
Icarus.
Riser.
Yeah. And without me in it, I weighed it the other day, it's about 150.
Wow, that's including engine?
Yeah, it's actually should be about 135, but this particular one's been repaired a time or two.
Yeah, we get older, we get heavier.
And I also have the electric start on there that I don't use, but I just don't bother taking it off.
I had a thought and it went out of my head. Ping! Oh, what is your wing loading?
Oh, I haven't calculated, but it's 183 square feet of wing area.
And you're
weighing in at what, about 300-350 pounds?
Yeah,
this
well
thing?
You think so. Oh, you're talking about the whole airplane?
The whole airplane.
Yeah.
Well, you add 150 and 165 and there you are.
Wow.
Oh geez.
I'm not doing that math.
No,
I can't do math.
Not either.
Not this week.
Let's just say it's pretty light.
Yeah, really.
Well, I weigh more than the airplane.
Yeah, the other week somebody sneezed when he was on final and blew him right out of the pattern.
Well, I'll tell you what, when I'm flying with those powered parachutes, I give them lots of clearance because they've got a down rotor behind them like you can't believe.
No kidding.
They move a lot of air.
I wouldn't have thought that.
Me neither.
When I get, if I get too far, I got behind one at Sun and Fun Flying, and I was at 200 feet, and finally I got my heart out of my mouth at, I felt 50 feet.
Oh.
Wow.
It just put me down like crazy.
So you're up there flying with your Easy Rider, and one of these guys in the LSA goes by, and it must look like the Concorde going by.
It's like the cartoons. Yeah. You know, he spins around a few times, and then gets himself back together again.
Well, that's why I usually fly with the powered parachutes.
Yeah. There was a guy here one year that brought out a turbine-powered parachute.
No kidding.
And we asked him why, and he said, because I could. And then we said, how fast does it go? And he said, 28 miles an hour. It just makes a lot of noise.
28 at cruise, 28 at landing, or 20 at landing.
Yep.
Yeah, but what a great sound, though.
I don't know.
Of course, the other downfall of that is the fuel burn.
Oh, yeah.
How high have you taken your ultralights? I mean,
most
people don't think
I want to get some
feet.
Cheap free advertising one time, so I tried to set a foot launched altitude record. It was 13,500 feet.
Oh, my goodness.
That
was taking off of Sylvania Airport south of Milwaukee, which I think is about a 500 foot above sea level. So about 13,000 foot gain. I had a barograph on board so I could record the trace, and I had the TVs going around me. I was trying to just get some The best advertising you get is the free stuff.
Right, right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, usually that happens when you do things like land on the Washington Mall. But anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I foot launched and foot landed. Prior to me doing that, somebody had taken a Mitchell Wing to about 21,000, but that he had about 5 gallons of fuel in his lap when he took off on the landing gear, and mine was foot launching with about, five quarts times 10 quarts of fuel.
That's all it took to get to 13,000 feet?
Yeah.
That's surprising right there.
So you got up to the altitude record, and then you were out of gas.
Actually, no. I had enough gas to idle back to the airport. So I stayed pretty well near the airport.
It only took you half an hour to come down.
It did, almost.
January at like 20 degrees, 20 below.
Of course. Why did we do it in January?
Well, because it's good cold air, yeah. And I needed the advertisement, and I had my Downfield Snowmo Seville suit on, my Downfield booties. And
that still wasn't enough.
Barely.
Looked like the Michelin Man.
Wow.
The Michelin Man? Oh, that's great.
It would have been like an airbag landing. You know, he would have bounced along the ground.
I could have done that. Yeah. But it was foot launch, foot landed, and that was, I guess, a record. I don't know.
Wow. But 13, I don't like 000... cold weather that much to try and go to 13,000 feet.
But the funny thing is, after you get over 4,000 or 5,000 feet, you don't realize how high you are. It just, you know, everything gets smaller, slower.
Yeah, and you all look like ants to me.
Yeah, really.
Wow.
It was a clear day, and you can see a long way.
Did you have an expectation of how high you were going to be able to go?
I had no clue.
Okay, so you didn't think about oxygen or any of that stuff.
Well, you can stay up there for the long. You don't stay up there
laughing
long.
Son's laughing over here. Oxygen, what's that?
You're not supposed to plan things, are you?
He just did things. Sometimes he didn't think. He just did things. I love them all.
Yeah, what'll happen if I point this up and keep going?
I was going to say, even if he pointed the nose straight down on that aircraft, it's still taking 15 minutes to touch the ground.
Yeah. It took a good about a half hour. It's almost 2 hours going up and about a half hour coming down.
Did you have any problems with birds in the area? I mean, a bird strike would have been pretty nasty.
No, they just landed on the wings and rode along.
Well, actually, the birds usually can fly faster than me.
They get tired, they stop in.
So, in other words, you're saying you did have bird strikes, but they came at you from the rear.
He got hit from behind.
Yeah, there you are.
We heard a joke down in the ultralight area.
Yeah.
You know you're an ultralight pilot when you have bug splatter on the trailing edge of your edge.
Yeah. Ultralight. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
I like the joke that says it doesn't have an airspeed indicator. It comes with a calendar.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. So what possessed you to get into ultralights in the first place?
You must have just like, I want to fly.
Well, I wanted to fly, and I wanted to get in my man-powered flight experiments. And, of course, the ultralight business took over, and I never did do that. In fact, I did a couple experiments just before I went out of a business. But that's basically what it was. What I wanted to do is pump, rather than use a typical sailplane with a propeller on it, I wanted to flap the wings, only the typical bird type of flapping.
Like an ornithopter.
Ornithopter. Is very inefficient. It's got a lot of cables and stuff. But I wanted to take the entire wing and oscillate it like the horizontal flukes of a whale. You know, pitch down, speed up, come back up, and use my legs, which are the strongest muscles in your body, as the propulsion muscles. So that's why I got the Icarus, because it had a aerodynamics that if you remove the weight, it pitches up without a bunch of mechanisms. So I could do that sculling in the air, I guess.
Did it work?
Sort of. I never got into my real experiments, and now I'm getting too old to do it.
Yeah, I hear you. And you get too tired.
Yeah, my battery doesn't hold as much charge as it used to.
Exactly. And it takes longer to charge up. Well, again, I want to really thank you guys for stopping by. This has been a great discussion.
I'll tell you, this is wonderful being with the father of the modern ultralight.
Yeah.
Having ridden on an ultralight, I can blame you for the ride that I got.
Yeah. Either it's fame or infamy, one or the other.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
Either way, you're in the books.
I guess so.
People look at it.
Again, I wasn't trying to invent anything. I just wanted to fly.
Well, that's what the Wright brothers said, too, or were they? No. Yeah. I understand somebody asked them if they could put a bathroom on that airplane.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Did you lose your luggage, too? I mean,
yeah. Cargo capacity. Yeah. Toothbrush.
Yeah.
Every ounce counts in an ultralight.
Now, would you say the industry is alive and well?
Yes and no. I think it's recovering. I'm really sad to see how much things cost these days. Yeah. I mean, you can't buy an engine. What I sold the whole airplane and engine for years ago, you'd expect some of that. But I'm sad to see everything so terribly expensive, even kites and trikes and the stuff like that. So there's got to be a way to bring the price down. So I would like to see that. So, and I also would like to see more Part 103 activity. Seems like everybody wants to have somebody flying with them, so they got to have a two-place and all that stuff. But the powered parachutes, they single place, and they're pretty well known. But
real quick, Part 103 aircraft and Part 103 require you to have flight training. What's your opinion on that? I mean, I think you'd have to be insane to try and do it without some sort of flight training.
Well, when I started, I had there's no way to try it. And I read Stick and Rudder, a real nice basic book, and learn about flying. These days, what you can do, you can find an LSA dealer who does dual instruction, get training to know about flying, and then once you are pretty competent at that, then you can transition to whatever Part 103 ultralight you have. Actually, the ultralights are probably easier to fly than most aircraft flying. So once you know the basics, the things that could really hurt you if you didn't know them.
Yeah, like tumbling in front of a crowd.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point example. You can transition quite easily because they are very simple to fly.
Okay. Well, that's great.
I'd like to see more training, but I'd like to see more Part 103 type aircraft out there.
Well, I want to thank you again for stopping by. And regaling us with tales of derring do.
Oh, yeah, there's that derring do stuff. Well, you know,
in some cases it was derring doo-doo, but anyway.
If anybody would like to see some of my earlier flights Saturday, tomorrow at 11:30 in the forums tent at the ultralight area, giving my beginning of ultralights talk where I got some of my earliest
successes,
movies which are now in the
movies DVD. 8mm.
Yes, right.
Or your website.
My website is pioneerflyer.com. It's pioneerflyer. Had to misspell it in order to get the name. So
gotcha. Very cool. Well, thanks again for stopping by.
Yeah, it's been a blast.
Love being here. I can talk all day about this stuff.
Well, that's good.
I got a lot of stories.
That's what being an ambassador is all about. Anyway, this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And
this is EAA Radio.
There we go.
I got it.